He answers your question. If you don't want to go into it, I understand. At the end of Hilchos Zrizus,
right,
we mentioned that the Ikkar Schar comes from Zrizus. And I think the way we explained it was that that's a din in the mensch. It's not a prat in the mitzvah as much as it is a prat in the mensch who's makayim the mitzvah.
Right.
And that's... It seems to me that our contemporary expression of Orthodox Judaism is missing this point a lot. We very much mechanech to do mitzvah, to mechanim the task of it, whereas the focus is not...
Yeah.
I don't know if you agree to that, and if it was different, maybe in
how would... Let's sort of... How would you define it? In other words, in what sense would you say that that's true? You're telling me that there's something missing. Is this just sort of what way is it? Would you think that's true? I'm just trying to get a sense of what is this in particular that you're referring to.
What I'm referring to is almost a sense, and I'm guilty of myself, that being a Kaim Torah is a checklist that you have tasks to do, and you know you daven, so you tick, you daven,
right.
You learn, so you tick that you learned. The focus is on the task. It's not so much, you know. Okay, I got there late. I didn't get there late, but Lamaisa, I did it.
Right.
You know? I was Yotzi Zayin. Whereas, to me, what you said, what it sounded like was, the Ikkar is really in the mensch, who's Mekayim the Mitzvah.
Right. It's very hard to argue with that. If you you want to take a look at cloud perspectives and get a sense of that, we can, it was an issue that was dedicated to what they call the sense of connectivity, which would probably be very similar to what we're referring to, but the truth is, maisim are easier to mandate and to control and so on and so forth. Those are all correct, and therefore, in some ways, it's much easier to work them in. Things like feelings, things like cheshik, are very difficult, and Muslim movement tried to work on that. That was specifically what they spoke about. That was the theme of Muslim Chassidus, and like always, that's easy for that to go to fall off to fall off. So I can only tell you that it is a core, because it's so important. It's a core issue, and no matter how well no matter how mehuda you can grow a sorghum today or make matzahs, there's no way to substitute it for people's feelings. So I can agree with you that that's the challenge, and I guess we're meant to do something with it. I can't think of anything else to tell you. I can't imagine that there's a raya from what's a challenge for everybody to the fact that this must be okay. I even think when people latch on to somebody special, like a Rebbe that they really hold by and think he's very, very special, if you ask yourself, at the end of the day, most everybody's Mekayim, the mitzvah is pretty much the same way. I mean, a little more mehuda, less mehuda, and you're always talking about some sort of quality of the person. That's about all you're describing when you're describing that type of quality. So, for lack of a better answer, I would tell you, you're right, it's a great challenge. Because today doing mitzvahs has become in, and the ability to do mitzvahs has become so easy, the challenge has shifted to the sense of cheshek to do it, the sense of, you know, that the person is looking forward to do it, and so on. Yes? Okay.
Do you agree with the historical perspective? Has this changed? Was it better?
I would say the following, and you're never sure in these things when is it a pre-selected group or not. my historical perspective goes back. My father, Zichron Evracha, was born in 1904, around somewhere around 1903, and he would reminisce about his youth. So I guess that's as far back as I can go. Certainly, religious Jewry in that Kufa, and the Kufa that I and the people that I remember that came from that era, was a lot more emotionally intense, and a lot more. It's sort of his masrus and zrizus and so on. The question is it because they were the only people that remained keeping mitzvahs? Most anyone who didn't have, if you didn't have that type of intense feeling, you went off the, you became a communist or a Bundist or a revisionist or whatever it is. That's one possibility. Second possibility is the hardship of life. If you have to save up penny after penny for tefillin, and it means sort of cutting back on meals for a year, when you put on tefillin, it has a very, very different meaning than if it's a question of just, here's another $1,000, get me to Mormonhood tefillin. So it could be a product of the hardships of life that forced you to value what you're getting. All of those are factors. Or it could be just right off as Yiridus HaDoros. I don't know the answer to that, but it may be that our door, because it's so easy to mitzvahs, we're going to have to find it in a different way, the meaning and the power. It could be because in our generation, people don't really define with doing mitzvahs no matter what. It's into eat kosher and it's into sort of keep Shabbos, and so it doesn't require that type of effort. But we have to go a step further. You're never sure on these things. I do have that sense growing up from the difference between the Amalek Yid and the Heintek Yid, but just what the fact is that really caused it, I don't know. And it almost seems like I want to tell you a very interesting recollection. I was Neshet Torah between 83 to 90, and that time, Reb Noach, like always, was out to save the world, and there was no corner of the globe that could be left without Reb Noach's benevolent eye. So there were two groups of foreigners that I remember were in the yeshiva. The Russian Baal Teshuva were beginning to come out, sort of. There was a group of Russians. Maybe this was in 87, 88, but there was already a trickle of Russian Baal Teshuva. But it was still in the communist rule. And then there was the Brazilians, that somehow Reb Noach got hold of tons of Brazilians. The Russians at that time, keeping mitzvahs was required a lot of Messias Nefesh. And they were very, very committed to Baal Teshuva. Whoever came as religious was a very, very committed Jew. The Brazilians, life was good in Brazil. There was no issue with keeping mitzvahs, except that life was good, and the Brazilians were kind of just had a very, very nice sense of life and pleasant sense, and were not eager to get into mitzvahs. And the Russians, at least the way, you know, they were clamoring for mitzvahs and so on. And Reb Noach kind of was very frustrated, and he said, "Do you think that maybe if we can get the Brazilian government to prohibit keeping mitzvahs, we might actually make a lot more inroads in Brazil than we're doing?" It was an interesting comment. It was, there was something to it, that the idea of having of doing something because, you know, when it's usher, seems to provoke a lot more feeling than if it's not a problem. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So we're holding over here in the last piece we had started last time. We had sort of gotten off on a tangent on Shavuos. Let's learn it kishlatzmai. So, umay lamida zos. Omer sechtes tainis omer v'ami en gesham yodim el b'shul bali amana. It says, rain comes v'shul bali amana. Shnema emes meretz titzmach v'tzedek mishvayim nishkof. Now, let's start on the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself makes a lot of sense in the sense of most things in nature, most things that are natural, tend to be very routine and very predictable. That sort of makes it naturedic. That's why it's natural. When you have things that are things that are meant to be part of the cycle, that you expect them to very much be routine. Rain is the one factor, one X factor in that whole mahalach. It seems to be as if people are just the rain should have been very, very cyclical, and the crops need it, and people need it, and everything. And yet, it is the most unpredictable element. So, the Balei Emuna, in other words, where it requires a certain, it's not automatic. It seemed to, so that's the makom where you have the schar from. Shnema emes meres titzmach v'tzeg v'shayin nishkaf. V'om reb ami. Boyo reika magdolim balei emuna. Minayin mechul dabar. Uma hamayimin bechul dabar. Kach hamayim kach baruch zah mekama. That if somebody believes in chul dabar, it's miskayim, certainly if he's mayimin hakadosh baruch hu. Pirish. Ki balei emuna eina mishanim. The trait, when we spoke last time, we spoke about emunah in loyalty in the sense of something which is committed and is part and parcel of where it's coming from, and therefore it's not mishane. The loyalty is sort of a sign of oneness. Well, the figal gankin ha-shemayim she-biyodam ha-mata yu balei emunah ve-yitnu mata ve-geshem ashu be-koicham ve-leishanu kal-kei-nevu. This provokes in Shemayim that it should be also a give it without change. So, Kimayim upon him, Emunah starts with us, and then it is reflected by the Mashpia. Like we spoke last time, just sort of like to explain it. If the test. The test of emuna is always in the ball court by the mekabel, because in every emuna, A has been cut away from B. A is seen as the questionable entity. For instance, we gave a mashal of a piece of furniture, and you can have sometimes a leg attached to it or a leg. Is carved out of, say, wood, a veneer versus wood through and through. So you test it by pulling on the leg of the chair, and if it doesn't give way under any circumstance, we say it has become one with the other. If somebody welds a piece of metal to another piece of metal, if it is welded perfectly, it has become that one metal, similar as if it has been cast in the furnace that way, and it doesn't break away. So the test of emuna lies always in that second piece, in that extra piece, and if it carries through the test successfully, it is now endowed with everything that the primary piece has. So if the foot will always stay attached to the chair, so the chair will take that foot with it wherever it goes, so to speak. If you capture the imagery. It's there will never be anything done to the chair, happening to the chair, that will not happen to the leg as well. So it's the leg's quote-unquote business to hold on tight, and when that holding on tight is to the degree that it's inseparable, then automatically whatever will be in the mashpia will be in the mushpa. So if we hold on tight to Al Yonim will have to be Mashpia, will automatically be Mashpia. V'im einoi mayimin be'echot, ari gamkein oise she'etzla davashloi mishana li gamkein k'mashmai z'etzla mamota. There's also, it's very interesting, if you, if you take a look at Yosef HaTzadik, and you look at the argument that he used to with Eishes Potiphar. So one would have expected to for him to have used some of the arguments along the lines of Kedusha, Aveira, and so on. That would be you kind of get a sense that maybe that's the type of talk that she would really go for, or at least when he'd be mechazik himself, and he would he would tell himself a kind of terrible, like Chazal say, you know, you're not going to be on the luchis and so on, on the Nishorim and so on and so forth. His argument was that he said, "Hein Adoni lo yada iti ma baboyis v'chol ha'sheyesh lo nasam b'yadi." There's this complete trust and faith in me. And then the God of Baba'is says, "Emeni v'lo chasach meni mu'uma kim oisach v'ich eser agdoz chasalakim." He spoke about a breach of loyalty. You know, I've been entrusted with this. And how could I possibly do this? It's extraordinary that was the piece that hit home. Of all the things wrong, it was the betrayal of trust. It's an amazing piece. This, by the way, once we got onto that piece, I just want to tell you, I once heard a Gevaldik Avart from the Kumarnak. He said, it says in the pasuk over there, that he was telling her, "I can't do this, it's wrong," and so on. Well, she's also mitzvah on all these things. Why didn't he say, "It's how could we do such wrong? How could we behave as such an avera?" He only spoke about himself. So Gemara said he didn't want to be miyachad himself with her, even in the b'china of dibur. In other words, saying the word "we" is also it's a form of it's a kind of hisyachdus. We have a note, chassanim like love saying over "we," and the word "we" is kind of the novelty. It's sort of me and her. He said they didn't want to be misyachdus or even dibur. Okay, it's just a parenthetical point, but it's a very nice, very 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 sharp point. Okay, so he says, he didn't say bali emes. So this bond is called emuna. Or the karka sheb me'odnum bali emuna zem ze. Gama shemayim him be'emuna v'noisnim mata. Shekachu emuna sashmayim v'aretz, ve'ein emuna k'mo emuna sashmayim v'aretz. Shemayim v'aretz is the strongest element of emuna. Shehem k'mo zochon ekeva, shazochon mashpia v'anekeva mikabelas, ve'chein ha'shemayim mashpia v'aretz mikabelas. Now, v'kasha isha mizane nema baza ki siste ishtoi umole bo mol. Now, let's stop a second. So he says that emuna is emuna shvayim ba'aretz. He says that over here it was an example of emes, but it was rather an example of emuna, and that's why we transition emes to emuna. So basically, he's going to mention a little bit at the end of this paragraph. It's quite a long paragraph, so I want to just maybe jump the gun a bit and discuss it first. When he says that, the pasuk's talking about emes, but he's talking about emuna. So he says, okay, you know, emes, so it must be talking about emes and emuna, and that's sort of hainu hach, emes, we're talking about emuna, not emes. But they obviously have to be two varieties of the same thing. It can't be other than that, because it is something which is, he didn't say it means chesed rather than emes. He said emuna rather than emes. So emuna must be a variation on the theme of emes. And I'd like to explain that a little bit. This is an akuda that he's saying over here, and this is an akuda that's going to be very, very significant. Emes and Emuna, it says Chosomesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. So one way in which the sum total of a Likus expresses itself in this world is through Emes. That's one way. The second way, our basic mitzvah, the mitzvah that includes Anoch Hashem Elokecha, is subsumed under something called Emuna. That's sort of the title we give to it. So we need to understand a little bit that Emes and Emuna are going to be two variations of the same thing. He's going to say afterwards at the end that Emuna is the Lashon Nekeva of Emes. He's going to say Emes is Zachar and Emuna is Nekeva. Now, grammatically, it's interesting. Modern Ivrit sees Emes as being Lashon Nekeva also. The ribui of Emes is Amitios, which is definitely Lashon Nekeva. Chazal, it's very hard to determine a Lashon Nekeva and Lashon Zachar, because the Lashonis of, I mean, Emes is not an entity really, so it's not something that we're very, very comfortable to give it it's an abstract entity. But so Amitios is used all of. Amitios is the rabbim of Emes in Kol HaTorah Kula, in all the Sfarim. Ramban uses it, and everybody. The Medrash, when it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked the four Emes, Shalom, Tzedakah, and Chesed, whether or not to create Adam, the Lashon of it is Emes Omar. So I don't know if that indicates that there's an element of Lashon Zachar, but let's describe when we say Emes Ve'emuna. In the morning we say Emes Ve'yatziv, which is, we understand Yatziv to be a very complementary term to Emes, but at night we say Emes Ve'emuna. The Chosom of the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Emes, and our relationship to that Emes is Emuna. Emes is a Gilui. It is the full gilui of the core of something. When we say chasimah shehakadosh baruch hu is emes, the word chasima means this is the core and the crux of it. The chasima on a letter is the most important part to it. Without it, it has no validation. What validates a document is the signature, is the chasima. So that's emes. So Emes is when the core of something is total gili. Emuna is when I deher the Emes, even when it's not nizgale. In a certain way, this is a stronger test of Emes, or better said, it's a more powerful exhibition of the Emes when it's Emes, even if it's not seen. So when I say that this is for sure this, let's give a mashal. Let's say there's a certain criminal that has a modus operandi, and he does crimes in a certain way. Let's say he did a crime and the camera caught him. So that's Emes. It's clear, it's gully, you can't get more Emes than that. But let's say no camera caught him, no witnesses were there, but the signs, the telltale signs, the chachma involved, I don't know what other complementary terms go with different crimes, but the level of how clever it was and how daring, etc., etc., there's only one person that could have been. And so that's called Emuna, but it's an even more powerful indicator of the Emes that it can't be anyone else that has that level of sophistication, daring, etc. So through the maimin, there's a misgala, there's a gilui of something that you don't have in emes. It's a deeper, it's megala how emes it is. I was once at a simcha, and a brother of the Baal Simcha, I think it was a Shalom Zecher, would have meant walking in like a long, and the Baal Simcha said, my brother will be here. And somebody says, oh, it's raining, it's dark, it's late, it's this, it's that. And the person walked in, and he said, I knew him, I know my brother, I know that he would be here. There's a certain element of, that's a gili of emes that's more profound than when it's in the open. When somebody walked in and he's here, and that's why I know he's here, that's a gilu and the chitzonius shaboy. But when he's not here, I say he will be here, or he has to have been one to do it, because that's him. That's a very powerful gilu of emes. More powerful than it's when it's Begili Mamsh. It's extraordinary when you think about it. The greatest Gili that we have of the Amitosis HaKadosh Baruch Hu lies not in the Gili of Emes, but in the Gili of Emuna. It's not when we see it, but when we know it can't be other than Him. That's a much more profound Gili of it. Salak upon Him. The gili of emuna is the flip side of the gili of emes. It lies in the mekabel, where the mekabel is megala this faithfulness, and that reinforces the emes of the mashpia. Then he brings the ma'aseh chulda and bar. Vezel shen, yes.
What does it mean? We often refer to Kosh Baruch Hu as having emuna. Rabbi,
yes.
What's that mean?
That, so it means that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called V'neman Atalachis Mesim, that means that those Mehalchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that require us to have Emuna means that he is a Ne'eman. And in the Gili of Ne'eman, the world now is progressing as we see the world. Chias HaMesim is an impossibility, like the Min said, but we know that it will be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said so, and it has to be. So that Gili eventually will come out, that Mahalcha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether we like it or not, they come to fruition. So that's going to be a much deeper Gili of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Amitius. That's the pshatnet. So he brings a maisa from a chulda and narat. We don't have it anywhere. We have it in the aruch, and Rashi brings it. She was going home. She was dressed up in kesev zov. She wandered off. She walked and she was very thirsty. She saw a well, and she went into the well and she tried to get out. She couldn't. Somebody heard her. And he asked her, are you a man or a mazik? She said, I'm a person, swear to me. She swore, who brought you here? And she told him the story. So he said, okay, if I lift you up, will you marry me? And she said, yes. It's interesting, I guess, didn't need any dates, didn't need any information about her, didn't, Shidduchim were busy in those days. Hell of Ratz Zedakek Lamiyad, and he wanted to live with her immediately. And she said, where are you what nation are you from? He said, I'm Jewish. I'm a Kohen. She said, I'm also from this. And then she told him, somebody of a holy nation like you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose from all Klal Yisrael, and you want to act like a behema, no kedusha, no ksuba, come to my house. We'll do an erusin. And they agreed, and they made a covenant. He said, who's going to be the witness? So a chulda weasel ran by. So he said, the heavens, the weasel, and the well. are going to be witness that we not betray each other. Each one went off. The girl stood fast and she remained loyal. And any time a shatran came, she said, "No, I'm already engaged." When they started really nudging her about shidduchim, she started acting crazy, and so that people just let go. He forgot her immediately. Very, very typical man and woman. I'm sorry to interject that, but he forgot about her immediately and found another woman, got married, had a child. And the first child they had, a chulda choked it, and the second child fell into a well. So his wife said, if this would have happened naturally, I would say, okay, Hashem knows. Something's very strange. What's going on? So he told her the story. She left him. And she told him, go to the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. He went to a city, and they told him, yeah, she's crazy. He went to her father, and he told him the whole story, and he said, I'll marry her still. He started dating her, and she started acting meshuggah. He told her story to hold the bar, and she told him, you should know, I was loyal, and he was happy, and they had children, and so on and so forth. And on that, the pasuk says, "Eine b'nei mani aretz." That's lashon the aruch. First of all, it's interesting. This is used a lot of times as a story to when people ask that somebody went to a rebbe and he had, and the rebbe was able to do certain miracles and things came true. So you see that the rebbe has tremendous kochos. The reply is, there is such a koach in the Bria, you see it from Chulden Bar. That's a sort of a common refrain about all these, about miracle workers. My father, Chen Evracha, suffered from arthritis, and he would, every summer he would go to do sulfur baths. There was a place called Sharon Springs in New York, and there was a place in Saratoga Springs. And I don't know if it helped, didn't help much, whatever it is. But that's, he went to do to take the waters to do the bath. So he met there once the Satmar Rebbe's Gabbai, Rabbi Yossel Ashkenazi. He was also there, also suffering from arthritis. And he asked him, "Tell me, Rabbi Yossel, do you think that these waters help?" So he said, "Like a Rebbe, they help." So my father said, "What do you mean?" He said, "If you believe in it, it works. If you don't believe in it, it doesn't work." I think there's another pshat in it. It says over here, she said the shamayim and the chulda and the bar should be. That's the lashon that he's quoting here. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be should reinforce our bris through the chulda and the bar. So there was an amun in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and selecting the chulda and the bar specifically as the elements. It could be that's the explanation of it, because really, if you think about it, this raises some serious issues. It seems to be saying that as long as you believe in anything, it'll work. Which basically, it gets rid of any rias of anything. I think the pshat is he said of the hashamayim machulda v'abar. So he said, he comments this as follows. First of all, he says, V'yeshchal adas elu shnei dvarim, chulda bar him keneged zochon akeva. Chulda and a bar, there's a reason why these two things. Ki ha-chulda keneged zochon, ne-shaloshon chulda me-loshon chalada, she-menakev ha-chulda be-ikri ha-bayis. She-kach omru chol mokim ala chulda, v'kumo ha-zochon she-menakev. A chulda sort of, it forces its way into the house. A chulda sort of bores its way into the house, and therefore the lashon chulda is sort of like the zachrus. The avla bor hu hafotze. The bor is the makabel. Sheish lo beis kibul domin lekeva. Chena makosav shtei mayim mevurach miborcha. V'dovaze mevur bekama mekomos. V'kasher hoyu meiden ala zivuk. They picked the chulda and the bar because they were relating to the atzmius of zochon akeva. In other words, they saw the Chulda and the Bar as the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world for Zachris and Nakvas. Thus they were saying, as sure as HaKadosh Baruch Hu plays these two Koichais in the world to become one, that's our attitude. And in this chibur of ish v'isha is exactly where you have emuna. Like we spoke last time, this week's my last time, I think. The zocha nekeva are supposed to be one, but there's a tzad to say they're not one. If something is not really one essentially, then there's no shaykh, it's not shaykh emuna. Wood and metal don't weld together at all. That best they stick together. If there's no havamina that they're two, if it's one piece of metal, it's one piece of metal. That's emis. If it's a piece of metal that broke off but can be remelded, not only welded, but it can be melded together and become one unit, that's emuna. So that's where Shaykh V'lekach Eitzel Soita Ksiv Umala Beimol V'tergim Unklis Tishaker V'chol Me'ilo Hulashen Sheker. So Me'ilo is a type of Sheker. When you betray a trust, you're putting to lie the Amitis of the Chibur of Zoch and Akeva. V'kashoy Me'yachten L'Eidus HaChulda V'abur Al Chibur Zoch and Akeva Kilo miyachten ze emuna shal zoch ne keva shesh te emuna biyachat. V'lachein ho yunem vodim habonim alei chulda v'bor shor ne emuna shesh v'isha. So in other words, it's as if she abstracted and they said the nemanus that is inherent in the chulda and the bor of the world is the nemanus that we wish to call to bear testimony to this. And betraying zoch ne keva should bring upon us the calamities of a betrayal of a zoch and a keva. So it wasn't a chulda in the bar, it was more the koich of it. V'teida oid ka zoch and a keva keneged emes v'emuna. Zoch and a keva keneged emes v'emuna. V'yesh ala hovin lama isha omda b'emunasa b'yoysa. And now you understand why the isha stood fast in emuna more. Like we said before, now the dedication of the nekeva is more profound in the zacha, because the isha is the one that sort of is the trial piece to see if even when it's away, it will still stick together, and that koyach to the hair itself as really belonging someplace else, that's the koyach of the isha. It's very interesting when you look in the Ramban on Chumash. Whenever the Ramban wants to speak about Kabbalah, or not, I shouldn't say wherever, but many times when the Ramban is speaking about inyanim of Kabbalah, he calls it. He has different. What's the right word for it? He has different, not euphemisms, but he has different expressions that he uses to call Kabbalah. And one of his more popular is Al Derech Emes Ve'Emuna. Al Derech Emes Ve'Emuna. That's an expression that he uses a lot. It's something which includes in itself Chachmas Apnim, Chachmas Emes, includes in itself a certain Teichen that's hidden, but it's the core Emes of the Torah. It's the hidden Emes. Torah is Emes. The Goli Sheboy is Prinas Emes. The hidden part of it is Emuna. It's interesting. A woman is possible Eidus, because Eidus requires you being able to apprise what's in front of you, to see the facts that you have in front of you, and that an Isha is less good than a man. But in terms of the herring, the Teichen, that which is not there, the woman is better. That's why it says a woman is makir in orchim more than a man, because an orech is somebody that you don't have much, you haven't had much contact. The ein of reyes is not much. You get one snatch of a conversation with him. But a woman is mafkin the deeper part. But it comes sometimes at the expense of the, you know, in a case where X is technically right, but Y is really the one who deserves it, the man will give it to X, the woman will give it to Y. And in din, the Torah wants X and not Y. That's the... Okay, let's finish up. A woman is not mutter to marry somebody else, because that's the ultimate emuna, is only for him. And a man who doesn't have that level of emuna as a woman, he's mutter to acherim also. Any questions?
One question: the scha in the midbar, the fact that the noshim, they were allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael.
It says they were chaviv es haaretz. B'nai slavchad melamed that they were mechaviv des haaretz, even though their father died, but they wanted Eretz Yisrael. So yes, there was a certain nemanis. It says b'schush noshim tzidkanyas, they went out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim on the overt level. The men were not, you know, they strayed after Avodah Zarah. The women had a certain emuna, a certain sense of things that superseded. Yeah, it's all around that same inyan. Okay, good. So there may be a shini as far as next week goes. I'll try to let Peter know if there's a shini on which day and whatever.
Good
Shabbos. Good Shabbos.